Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Sthapitam Veena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dathati Sharpadantikam. In today's class, we're going to speed ahead and cover the remaining items of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We're speeding through this not because it's less important, but because we have less time. The material here is in fact more important for us now than the material in later chapters we'll be dealing with. But the later material is more complex, and you're less likely to hear about it in the regular Bhagavatam classes, so I want to leave enough time for it. With that in mind, we're also adding one extra class, or reinstituting one class we cut, that is to say Saturday. So the last class will be on Saturday morning, same time. So now let's cover some of the main points on the remaining material in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Chapter 11 begins by discussing three angas, three items, which also happen to be the last three items in the well-known list of nine items of devotional service, which are altogether archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, satyam, atma, nivedanam. So in this chapter we'll find out something about dasyam, satyam, and atma nivedanam, considered as items of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. For these three items, waves of devotion is very nicely covers the topic. It very helps give us an insight into what Srila Prabhupada is discussing here. In servitorship or dasyam, there are two divisions: karmarpanam, offering one's activities to the Lord, and kainkaryam, serving in the mood of a personal attendant. Then the chart is there within karmarpanam. There are again two divisions: offering the fruits of prescribed varnashram duties, and offering direct service by hearing, chanting, and so on. And we find, come on. Hey, Hare Krishna. Give some space, please.
Is this coming?
Okay. Just give some space back there also. So you'll be a little more comfortable. Right. So we find in the text that simply offering the fruits of prescribed varnashram duties is not considered directly bhakti. Just to get something as a result of your activities and offer it to Krishna. But direct bhakti consists of hearing, chanting, and so on. That's counted as dasya. Clear? Any question there? Yes?
Yeah, actually, it confused me, Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Because in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Prabhupada often refers actually that Kama Yoga is Bhakti Yoga.
Yes.
And here, like, Bhakti Siddhanta is saying actually that it's the opposite. That
yes.
It's just Gauna Dharma, and it's just subsidiary devotional activity, but not direct Bhakti.
Right.
So there's a...
What do we do about that? What are we going to do about that? Well, which one's wrong? Yeah, which book are we going to follow now? What are we going to do? Same authority, practically. Prabhupada's authority. Well, we find that in different works, things are analyzed from different angles of vision. So sometimes something, and even in the same work, sometimes we'll find in the same purport that Prabhupada says something, and then, you know, you read further down in the purport and he says something a little different or just the opposite. You ever come across that? What does it mean? You know, you mean Prabhupada contradicting himself? Or? Well, when we get the most vision, how are we going to understand that Prabhupada says two things that are contradictory? Yeah, well, sometimes it doesn't seem to be terminology. Sometimes he says seems to be saying very different things.
Just two understandings.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for example, it's also with Adhikari. Like, for example, like the Kanishtha Adhikari, he has to discriminate between good or not good, not the Madhyam Adhikari. But the Uddham Adhikari then sees everyone equal. So it also looks quite like opposite to each other, but it just depends on the different stage of the consciousness. And according to that, if you say just a devotee, and then you can have both aspects, it's a contradiction. But if you like specify which devotee in which stage of consciousness, then it's becoming more clearer.
Usually what we're looking at here is different ways of looking at the same subject matter. The same thing can be analyzed as I'm trying to think of a good example, but you can look at something and analyze it one way, you know, from an engineering point of view, or you could look at it another way from a chemical point of view, or you can look at it, one engineer looks at it one way, another engineer looks at it another way. There are different ways of analyzing a situation or analyzing an entity. And the acharyas themselves sometimes take one view and sometimes take another view. Viva Goswami says one thing, Baladev Vijayabhushan says a second thing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says a third thing. So they're giving us ways of looking at the text. Sometimes they're following one theme, you know, throughout. And sometimes a different commentator is looking at it from another thematic point of view. And Prabhupada doesn't always signal that, sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't, that we're changing acharyas here, that we're changing commentaries. Sometimes he just says, you know, one thing and then the other thing. In Bhagavad Gita, practically speaking, Prabhupada's approach is to connect everything as being part of even the yoga system. For example, Ashtanga Yoga, Prabhupada counts as devotional service. Right? It's counted as devotional service. The Karma Yoga is counted as devotional service. Every Gyanis are counted as devotional service. Those who are meditating, sometimes even the demigod worshippers are almost included in devotional service. Almost. And in Nectar of Devotion, yoga is nothing. It's thrown out. Jnana is thrown out. Karma is thrown out. Jnana karma adhyanabhritam. All these things are thrown out. Austerity is thrown out. Not that austerity is no good, but as austerity itself is not the... All these things are thrown out. And in Prabhupada's approach to Bhagavad Gita, all these things are counted as steps in devotional service. He's connecting it all. Even Varnashram is counted as part of devotional service. Because he's making the connection where it's going. Just like in the Isha Upanishad, in the introduction, Prabhupada said, from one point of view, whatever knowledge you accept is Veda. That's his opening flourish. Whatever knowledge, from one point of view, any knowledge you accept is Veda. Then from another point of view, Vedas means the Shrutis, the Smritis, the Puranas, and literature in pursuance of the Vedic, but not, you know, any book anybody writes that's got some knowledge in it. So there are different ways of approaching these subject matters. Is that okay?
When I read in nature of Vedic devotion, then Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati gives the answer also to this question.
Hmm.
He says there's in his commentary to the Brahma Samhita text, if you want to support this, he says that offering our activities in Varna Ashram is known as Guna Dharma, subsidiary devotional activity. Such activities are not directly bhakti, although they may be indirectly
right. From another point of view, you'll say, well, it's not bhakti, but it's helpful.
Yeah.
It's contributing. And then from one point of view, you'll say, ah, this isn't bhakti at all. This is just a waste of time. So, again, from different angles of vision, we'll see things. Just like sometimes Prabhupada say, marriage, that's maya. Simply for sense gratification. And then another time Prabhupada said, marriage is very good. Double your energy for serving Krishna. So different angles of vision on the same subject matter are possible and are frequently encountered in our books. Yes?
I said difference in terminology. I mean about pure devotional service and devotional service.
Well, that may happen sometimes that Prabhupada's, you know, pure devotee, there's an example of the term. What does pure devotee mean? It really depends where you look and what you make of it. Sometimes pure devotee means, you know, the most exalted, perfect, completely liberated, fully self-realized Paramhansa. And sometimes pure devotee, all the members of ISKCON are pure devotees. We read that earlier in Nectar Devotion, that anyone who's engaged in the process from one point of view can be considered a pure devotee. He's not doing karma, he's not doing gan, he's a pure devotee. Because he's performing devotional service, which is pure. And then so this term goes all around the block when we talk about pure, even Uttamadikari. Are you in my Nectar Instruction class? You guys, okay, we'll get to a whole discussion about Uttamadikari and what an Uttamadikari is, what a Madhyamadikari is, what a Kanishtadikari is from different angles of vision. Stay tuned. Okay, yes?
Well, you said that between these different kinds of servitorship, it's that the distinction lies in the attitude of the performer.
That's between Karmarpanam and Kainkaryam. In Karmarpanam, these two divisions are distinct not only in the mood, but in what you're doing. In one, you're offering the fruits of the activities, and the other, you're directly engaged in hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna.
Yeah, and what is the difference between the
second type and this? Second type is that you're engaged in hearing, chanting, and so on, but there's a very particular mood. Ayinanda Tunuja Kinkaram. I'm your order carrier. There's a further development of one's Krishna consciousness that makes it more notable in that way. Distinguishes it. As here he says, even if one engages in the nine processes of direct devotional service, his activity is karmarpanam unless he serves with deep concentration in the mood of a personal attendant of the world. So it's the same thing, it's hearing, chanting, but one person is hearing, chanting, yes, I'm Krishna's servant, and the other person is deeply focused on being the menial servant of Krishna. That's the difference. And again, now we're getting to, you know, finer and finer levels of distinction here, but it is helpful for us. Yes?
Maharaj, please help me to clear by another confusion. Here it's taken by Damodara Swami at the beginning of the chapter. this chapter describes the last and most advanced of the nine main thoughts of devotional service. And today in the class, Ramakrishna mentioned that actually the first three, they're back on the still Bhagavad Vidhi, and the others are Pancharatrika Vidhi. And I thought like Bhagavad Vidhi is always like more advanced.
Atmani Vedana is Pancharatrika Vidhi. I was at today's class, I didn't hear that.
It was in the ashram yesterday.
I'm not sure what the reference is in what direction he's coming from with that. But the point is here that if you look at hearing, chanting, remembering, these are pretty straightforward methods to carry to Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. But now when you get Archanam, but when you get to the point of Sakyam, for example, to have establish a friendly relationship with the Lord, or Atmani Vedana, to be completely sold out to the Lord, that's advanced. That requires a little more than just picking up your beads and chanting or sitting in a class and hearing. There has to be further progress before I'm in the point. It's not that I just start to think, yeah, Krishna's my buddy. You know, the way I pick up and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, Krishna's my buddy. That's not Sakyam. Sakyam is a deeper, more highly evolved state of Krishna consciousness. It's not, therefore Prabhupada says it's not so common. So we don't find this, the words to that effect, it's not so common. Hearing, chanting, we can all do that. Sakyam calls for more. Is that clear? I'm not sure what that Pancharatriki Bhagavad Vidhi distinction is as applied to this. You'd have to go to the source. Okay. Any other question here? Okay. Now what? That's a meeting going on in the next room without, oh, a telephone call. Yeah. Our dean of students. Yes, question.
So these are distinct from rasa.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Here we're not looking at rasas. Even if the same word is used, sakya, here it means a particular practice of devotional service. There are 64 angas or limbs of devotional service, and this is counted as one of them.
So one might have any of the five rasas, but in the course of their practice, right?
Because dasyam, for example, is common to all the rasas. If you go to every ras, every relationship with Krishna is based on service. I'm your eternal servant. Even if you're up in the Madhurja Rasa, it's dasya. I'm your servant. But it's dasya super elevated. The Rupa Goswami gives the example that the elements, each element has the qualities of the element before it. So when you reach earth, it has all the qualities of air, all the qualities of ether, all the qualities of fire and water. They're all included in earth. So all the qualities, so the quality of dasya, the first quality, is included in all the other elements, all the other rasas. It's not unique to the serving mood, the mood of servitorship per se. But the friends of Krishna are servants. The parents of Krishna are Krishna's servants. The girlfriends of Krishna and the queens, they all feel, I'm your servant. So service is common to all of the relationships. It's all service. That's what distinguishes it from sense gratification. I'm your girlfriend means, I'm your girlfriend and I'm entitled to sense gratification in the material world. Where are you going to take me? But in the spiritual world, it's I'm your servant. That's the difference that Kaviraj Goswami will point out between lust and love. Lust means, what are you going to do for me? And love means, I'm your servant. Okay? The next of the items mentioned is friendship, sakhyam. And again, Waves gives a very nice description, helping us sort our way through a clearer understanding of what Prabhupada's saying. It's divided into two sections. Vishvas, trust in the Lord as one's benefactor. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, I'm the best friend of all living entities. So we accept that, yes, Krishna is my real friend. I trust Krishna to be my other friends, I don't know. But Krishna, we'll trust him. And then Prabhupada turns it around also and makes the devotee Krishna's friend, because the devotee is doing Krishna's business. So Vishwas, trust in the Lord as one's benefactor. And then there's something called Maitri, which Prabhupada says is an advanced stage in which one serves the deity with a mood of friendship. And Prabhupada mentions that even a devotee may even sometimes be seen lying down in the temple. Isn't that mentioned there? He's even lying, which is not very much in accordance with the regulative principles. But that means that he's gone up to practically the higher limits of now sadhana. He's come to the point where he genuinely feels that Krishna is my friend. And Prabhupada says this is an advanced stage. It's not that we're recommended now to stretch out and make ourselves comfortable in the deity room and have a chat with the deity. That becomes prakriti-sahaja. But again, these are all development of genuine feelings on the part of a devotee whose heart has become purified. Whose heart has become purified. So again, Prabhupada says that this is not such a common thing. There are 64 items. Watering tulsi, yes. Stretching out in the deity room. For some few qualified persons. Not to be imitated. Okay? We come to Atmanivedanam, which means surrendering oneself to Krishna. And Prabhupada discusses the different meanings of Atma. Body, mind, soul, everything. Atmanivedanam. Surrendering. And for all of these items, of course, Srila Rupa Goswami is giving evidence from revealed scriptures, illustrations to understand, so that we can understand. It's not just theoretical categories, but all of these items are described with relishable examples. Relishable examples from Shastra. We're speeding by them. But as we read Nectar of Devotion with a view toward appreciating these things, we'll get a deeper insight into the value of these 64 items, the perfections that devotees achieve in these 64 items, or through these 64 items. We'll get an appreciation. You know, you can read the notes for War and Peace. What are the cliff notes? You know, the professionally produced notes that you can speed through the book and answer test questions with in school, but it's not the same as reading War and Peace. So similarly, we're doing a summary study of the summary study. But as we read the book to appreciate, we'll get a deeper understanding and deeper realization of what these 64 items are. Okay? We're moving forward. In chapters 12 and 13, we find scriptural evidence for the last 10 of the 64 angas, the items of devotional service. Yes?
So, I just want to ask about this. These moods, they can be developed on sex.
Yes. Yes, that's what's being discussed here. Of course, Sakyam exists on the level beyond sadhana. It exists in Raganuga sadhana bhakti, and it exists in the highest, in prema bhakti. There's Sakyam. But here what's being discussed is the feeling of friendship within the realm of sadhana bhakti, and vaidhi sadhana bhakti at that. Excuse me?
This way of thinking, this example which I give, this is something natural for persons who are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana.
It may develop within a person performing Vaidhi Sadhana. It's not that every devotee will necessarily show these symptoms or have this prominently manifest in his devotional service. But it may be there. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Chapter 12 is going to talk about the last 10 items, and the last 5 are again dealt with in chapter 13. So we're going to skip by the other 5. You can read about them on your own. And we'll proceed to those 5 main items, which are also the topic of chapter 13. Unless there are any questions about the 5 that we're skipping over. These 5 main items are described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. Sharushanga Nam Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vas Sri Murtir Shradhai Sevan Shakala Sadhana Shreshta A Panchanga Krishna Prema Janmai A Panchir Alpashanga. He says that these 5 limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Shakala Sadhana Shreshta. They're the best of all. And even a slight performance of these 5 awakens love for Krishna. Krishna Prema Janmai A Panchir Alpashanga. A little touch with these 5 can awaken love for Krishna. In explaining the Atmarama verse also, he says, Shachanga Krishna Seva Bhagavata Nam Rajevash A Pancha Shadana Pradham. These are the 5 most prominent items of the practices of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says that these practices are so potent that a small attachment for any of them can arouse devotional service, even in a neophyte devotee. That the devotional service that it arouses is devotional service in ecstasy, or bhav. We're coming gradually in the next wave to bhav bhakti, which is the precursor, the initial stage or the preliminary stage before prema bhakti or love of Krishna. Ecstatic devotional service. So our process is to come from devotional service in practice, to devotional service in ecstasy, and then devotional service in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the practice is simply, you got to do it. Yep, you got to do it. In the advanced stage, one gets a spontaneous taste for performing these practices of service. And in the next stage, one becomes ecstatic. One develops an ecstatic has a particular meaning here. We mean, we use ecstatic rather freely. Oh, it was an ecstatic feast. The pakoras were really ecstatic. You know, everything that's kind of like transcendental and ecstatic, those are our basically ISKCON equivalents for, well, these days, awesome.
Flat out?
Far out. Yeah, where are you coming from? You were That's 90s. Is Bulgaria back in the American 1960s? That explains everything. Yeah. Ecstatic and transcendental in common usage are awesome, or if you're still back in the 60s or Bulgaria, far out. But it has a particular meaning in Srila Rupa Goswami's scientific analysis. It's a particular stage of devotional service with particular symptoms that he's going to describe as we come up on them in the next wave. In the next wave you'll find particular symptoms of ecstatic devotional service, so that when we want to get precise about it and say that someone was in ecstasy, we have some objective criteria that we can apply, or at least some criteria. We may not be able to apply them with complete objectivity, but we'll have a definite idea of what we mean by ecstasy, other than having a good time with pizzas and pakoras. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu says that these five items are so powerful that they can manifest bhava and the object of bhava. What's the object of bhava?
Krishna.
Yes. So we're going to look at those items very briefly. There's worship of the deity. There's hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's association with advanced devotees. And there's chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And finally, there's residing in Mathura Vrindavan. These are the five most potent items. By worshipping the deity, we associate with the deity, and Srila Rupa Goswami gives that warning that if you're really serious about society, friendship, and love, don't go see the deity of Govinda, because you'll ruin everything. All your attachments will disappear. Which means that he's advising us to be engaged in the service of the Lord, to see the Lord. And as we read these, many of these items of devotional service, they're connected with worshipping the deity. But worshipping the deity worship is extremely powerful. And by engagement of the service in the service of the deity, one can attain the highest perfection. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is super powerful. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are non-different from Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that every word, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, and therefore has unlimited potency and unlimited meaning. So we're told Pibata Bhagavatam Nasamalaya Muhuraho Rasika Bhavipavaka. Just relish, just drink this Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially the Bhagavatam should be heard. Bhagavata Paradhiya Bhagavatisam. We should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee, from a person, not from the professional. And we find, you know, ISKCON devotees, particularly here in India, who may lack training or discrimination, going off to hear some big name professional reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. But throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, we're advised, don't hear from the professional persons. Hear from a devotee of Krishna. And they put on a wonderful show of Bhagavatam. You know, they sing and they explain and they tell wonderful stories and they really get you going. But it doesn't have the same potency as hearing from a pure devotee of the Lord. And particularly they jump to those sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam that are beyond the qualification of the audience to understand. And they avoid the sections that the audience most needs to hear. Whereas Srila Prabhupada's approach was just the opposite. To be very sparing on the advanced topics and very generous with the preliminary topics that we most need to hear in order to understand and relish the higher topics. So Bhagavatam is not a haphazard enterprise, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, nor is it that we should hear for 7 days in a ritualistic performance and get punya. But Nityam Bhagavat Seva, regularly we should hear, every day, always. Association with advanced devotees. We discussed that earlier, the importance of sadhu sangha, the value of sadhu sangha, how everything can change in your whole life by the association of a devotee. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Krishna consciousness is like an electric current that communicates itself from one sympathetic soul to the next. He says it's like an electrical current that communicates itself from one sympathetic soul to the next. So we're advised throughout the Shastras to associate with devotees, and especially devotees who are considered more advanced. Chanting the holy name, we're known as the Hare Krishna movement. Our whole process is chanting Hare Krishna, and we have we work on the premise that chanting of Hare Krishna will do everything. Abhinata nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada's answer to so many things was simply chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and everything will be all right. Chant Hare Krishna and everything will be revealed to you. So we have some conviction about the power of the holy name of Krishna. And finally, residing in Mathura, such a wonderful place that Srila Rupa Goswami said, or Prabhupada says, that just by going there you'll feel something for Krishna. What does Prabhupada say about that? They're transcendentally situated. He quotes that, I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Jamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees, where birds are chirping in the gardens, and these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. But by going to Vrindavan, you see everything. The peacocks are there, the Kadamba trees are there, the parrots are there, the monkeys are there, Govardhan Hill is there, the Jamuna is there. So much is there to remind us of Krishna. Everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. The dust is there since Krishna's time.
You say about the electric current,
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So just to enter Vrindavan communicates, can arouse ecstasy in the devotee. One can become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by worshipping the deity, by the association of devotees, by chanting, or by residing in Mathura, or this Mayapur. Gaura Mandala Bhumi, Javijane, Chintamani, Tarhoi Bhajapuri. Anyone who knows that there's no difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur is actually living in Vrindavan. Mayapur is not different. So these items are super powerful. They're given more emphasis, a whole chapter practically dedicated to these items. And as Dhanadhar Maharaj points out, ISKCON is rich with all five of these items. You go to the morning program, it's all about the deities, the holy name, the Bhagavatam, association. And our whole society is meant for promoting these items. Yes. Yes.
They are directly related to the Lord, like worshiping the deity, reaching the power, except serving a devotee. So let's say when you're taking care of deity, so how that connects to this?
How does all the other items are directly related to Krishna, but this one item has to do with devotees, not directly with Krishna. But Krishna says, Madbhakta Pujab Yadika, that my devotee is more worshipable than I am. I think in this item it's quoted from Adi Purana. I think we'll find it here. That Krishna says that the person who is my devotee is not actually my devotee, but the person who is my devotee, the devotee of my devotee, is actually my devotee. Isn't it there? Or it was in the previous chapter. Could have been in the previous chapter where it was discussed. Anyway, we're all familiar with that quotation. Huh? 102? Okay. Yeah, there it is. One who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. No one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must approach him through the pure devotees. Therefore, in the system of Vaishnava activities, first duty is to accept a devotee as spiritual master, and then render service to him. So, in fact, I think Dhanadhar Maharaj quotes that the service, that all of these 64 items can be performed for the devotee. That is, we offer arti to the Lord, we offer arti to the devotee. We celebrate the appearance day of the Lord, we celebrate the appearance day of the devotee. We offer obeisances to the Lord, we offer obeisances to the devotee. So practically speaking, Krishna says, the devotee is more worshipable than I am. That item of association with devotees is super powerful. How will we associate with the Lord? Through his holy name, through the deity, or in the form of the deity, in the form of the holy name. But the devotee is not different from the Lord. Not that he's the personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada said the personality of Godhead has two manifestations, Krishna the master and Krishna the servant. Sakshad hari tena samasta shastra. One shouldn't think that the devotee is separate from the Lord. Sakshad hari. And elsewhere, sarva deva mayo guru. He's not different from the reservoir of all the demigods, Krishna. If we see the devotees as separate from Krishna, we're making a big mistake. Think, yeah, I'm interested in Krishna, but, you know, the devotees, you know, get on my nerves. know. The devotees are even, therefore we discussed the other day, that if you're worshipping the deity, you can stop everything to receive a devotee. And if you neglect a devotee on the plea of serving the Lord becomes dissatisfied.
And then this also, what about like taking care of devotees who are, I mean, associating or serving the devotees who are equal with us?
Yeah, there are different ways of serving devotees. The way that we serve a devotee superior to us is different from the way we serve a devotee subordinate to us or on the same level with us. And we'll discuss this again at length in Nectar of Instruction. But in brief, the younger devotee or junior devotee we serve by being merciful. The equal devotee we serve by being friendly. And the superior Vaishnav we serve by offering reverential service. It's not that we offer our blessings to the senior devotee, our benedictions. With them, we have to be on the receiving end. And with the junior devotees, we should be on the giving end. But that we should be serving all of them. Is that okay? Yes?
How can we understand this connection? For example, the vision was always to perform a theater play, like with the face to the deities and with the back to the audience. If the audience are also the devotees.
Say that again?
Before also, the last day, about the ancient theater play, traditionally were performed with the player toward the face towards the deity and with the back to the audience.
I don't even know if there was an audience when they were doing these performances. I don't even know if there was an audience. The deity was the audience. But if there were others present, they were participating in doing something for the satisfaction of the deities. There, everyone is cooperating to please the deity. It's not that, you know, we're envious. Why should the deity be seeing the play and I'm not, you know? Of course, things may be arranged in such a way that everyone can appreciate, but certainly not turning our backs to the deity for the satisfaction of everyone else. As the deity is, as the devotee is connected with the Lord's also connected with the devotee. So it's not that we neglect the Lord or for the sake of the devotee, that we don't care about the Lord. But we have to adjust everything. And we have to give more importance to the devotee.
Concerning this discussion, especially last class, Srila Prabhupada said that we shouldn't circumambulate deities when the altar is closed.
This came up yesterday, last time, and I think we said this is a question for the Pujaris. You can ask these questions. Yes?
It looks like that there is gradation also between
these five. Loud, please.
It looks like that there is gradation also between these five processes.
There's a gradation between these five processes? What is that gradation?
Because, for example, during the lecture of Bhagavatam, he's worshipping the deities and he's bringing the deity.
It's not that the deity worship is less important than Bhagavatam. These methods are all absolute. They're all transcendental. It's not that the deity is just a statue and we're doing just some rituals. The deity is actually Krishna. And we should act in such a way that we'll develop that understanding and appreciation. But from another point of view, the deity worship is considered Pancharatriki Vidhi, and the Bhagavatam, or preaching especially, is considered Bhagavat Vidhi. So comparatively, the preaching is given more importance than the deity worship. And from another point of view, they're both essential. Prabhupada gave the example that they're like two train tracks. They both have to be going parallel, and then your train runs nicely. If we neglect the deity worship, then our preaching will be hampered. And if we neglect the preaching, then we just become dull worshippers without carrying out the mission of the deity. But both things should be going on. Is that okay? Yeah, again, it's not that we look and say, oh, this is more important, ditch that. All of the items are important. Especially all of these five items are important to us. Is that okay? Yes?
You mentioned recently also that we don't have to go for Mayapur Vrindavan to become materialized, we can also stay somewhere else. Association of the rupees, how to relate to this item?
Yeah, if you're living in a temple, for example, that's constitutionally different from living on a university campus. You know, in the university campuses, there are all sorts of things to remind you about sense gratification. Beer parties and, you know, social things or career fairs and, you know, everything meant for material existence. And in the temple, the deity is in the center of everything. So there's seeing the deity, there's worshipping the deity, there's hearing the holy name of the deity, there's the Bhagavatam class, there's everything revolving around the deity. So then the temple becomes like Vrindavan. Vrindavan means Vrindavanam paricharya paramekam nagacchati. Krishna never steps foot outside Vrindavan. So if Krishna is there, that means Vrindavan is also there. Because Krishna doesn't go anywhere else. So the temple is also Vrindavan. And it's a question of one's realization. And one, we do realize that. We go to a temple, we feel it's a completely different place from the outside world, because it's the temple is meant to create the Vrindavan atmosphere. And still we'll get a particular appreciation from Mathura Vrindavan. Therefore Prabhupada said we should all come to Mayapur Vrindavan. He said actually every year, this Mayapur festival, he said every year you should come. Yeah, you're going, Prabhupada said, what is the difficulty? These objections were given in Prabhupada's time. The managers would say, oh, Prabhupada had so much money, this, that. Prabhupada said, you're eating every year. Every day you're eating, you're spending so much money. Huh? If suppose we say, gee, eating is so expensive, I don't know if we can afford to feed all the devotees, you know, maybe in rotation, you know, feed this devotee this year, feed that devotee next year. But somehow or other, there's enough money to feed everyone. So Prabhupada's argument was, what is the difficulty? He actually, that was his idea, was that everyone should come, every year. Yeah. I mean, so often, the devotees lose their spiritual enthusiasm and the preaching center closes anyway. Right? You know, we're saving money. And then your collector bloops, as they say. So how much money did you save? So Prabhupada's considered it very important, actually, that the devotees should all come to Mayapur Vrindavan. You know, we meet devotees, or we hear that devotees haven't come in, you know, 18 or 20 or 25 years, they're missing something that would be helpful for them to come to Vrindavan and get that inspiration, to come to Mayapur, get that inspiration, that purification. This is a powerful item of devotional service. Not that you can't make advancement in Krishna consciousness elsewhere, but there is, these things have potency. Why did Prabhupada go through so much trouble to create a place in Mayapur, to create a place in Vrindavan? Because there's an enormous potency in these places. Yes?
Did Prabhupada also say we should come and attend the parikrama in the holy places, or did you just mean the festival once a year, or also the parikrama, which is before the festivals?
Well, in Prabhupada's time, there was no separate parikrama. The devotees would stay, for example, in Mayapur and then go out during the day and visit some place. Or in Vrindavan, they would go out and visit some places. There was no formal Braja Mandala Parikrama or Mayapur Dham Parikrama separately in Prabhupada's time. But in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, these things were there. Yes?
Maharaj, I'm not sure where to find the statement Prabhupada said that we should not stay more than 3 days in Vrindavan.
The general, you'll find it in third canto, I believe, the general rule is that one should stay in a holy place for 3 days. The idea is that you go there long enough to be purified and get out before you can get in any trouble. You know, before we start taking the place for granted, go, become purified, and move on. But Prabhupada many times proved, the devotees of course, he invited us to come in Mayapur for the annual festival. It was a lot more than 3 days. And of course he assigned devotees to serve in Mayapur and Vrindavan. So it's not that we're breaking some regulative principle of, oh my God, I stayed more than 3 days. It's also a regulative principle, sannyasi should only stay in one place for 3 days. But sometimes, I would again assign sannyasis to stay full time in Vrindavan. Okay, something else.
When you go to Vrindavan Mayapur, you have to shave and fast.
Do you have to shave and fast? We generally don't give much importance to these particular regulative principles for visiting a holy place. First you have to shave, then you have to fast, then you have to do this, then you have to do that. Of course, very often a devotee coming to Mayapur Vrindavan looks at all this head, that hair on his head, and says, I'm in Vrindavan, what am I doing with all this stuff? And wants to shave. So it's very nice to, and it's a custom when you come to a holy place. Even karmis, you know, they go to a place like Tirupati, and they shave. Women even shave their heads, they go there and shave. So to sacrifice your beautiful hair when you come to the transcendental abode of the Lord is certainly favorable, very good thing to do. Let's do a point here is that to get the full benefit of all these items, one should perform them under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvigyanartam sa gurumeva abhigacchet. If one wants to get the full value, if one wants to get actual realization, then one must approach a bona fide spiritual master, and it's under his direction that one performs these five items and the other 59 items of devotional service. Okay, let's do a little discussion here. Since these five items are the most potent, why not just put all else aside, go to Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, worship the deity, associate with the pure devotees, and attain perfection. Who'd like to defend that position against all arguments? Okay.
Shri Guru Charan
Varma. Whoa, 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 what are you doing? Are you the person who wants to defend that position against all arguments?
No, no, I'm doing nothing.
You're doing something else, so that means you weren't listening. Who would like to be the person to defend this position? You're a person who's ready to go to Vrindavan, forget this material life. Are you going to be the guy?
I guess so.
Okay. Krishna Pipa. This is Krishna Pipa Prabhu, and he's decided that forget this material existence. He's going to go to Vrindavan, he's going to worship the deity, and spend day and night chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe roll in that dust of Vrindavan, associated with the devotees. What else is there to do? This is the essence. Okay. Does anyone have, you know, should we all do that? I mean, here we are.
I think anyone who can do it. Because there are those the five most powerful items, Lord Chaitanya said, actually the holy name itself is it, so we're going to try to ask him what the most powerful item was from instead of Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, and he told somebody, forget everything, he had committed some offense, the Brahmins told him to drink ghee and give up his life, but he was doubtful, so that's what Chaitanya said, go to Vrindavan, Chaitanya.
Talk to him, I'm out of the picture.
You know what, I'm just a wrestler actually, I'm totally torn. I'm just absorbed in my activities of sense gratification, and I cannot start my devotional life with association of the devotee actually, who engages me in some secret you are.
What is the five items?
So I'm totally dependent actually on your mercy, on your compassion, so please save me. But what is Vrindavan? I never heard about that.
Vrindavan is a very powerful place. There is a Krishna's abode.
Please come to our place and tell me about it.
actually, Mayapur, if you're a beginning devotee, Mayapur is a place. Mayapur Dham is so merciful that even if you commit offenses,
I mean, you can accept it, but stick to your conclusion. That's all right, but that's the standard answer to everything. That's all right, but.
Yeah. Well, there's many senior devotees in these other places. There's many places that remind you of the Lord's pastimes. Actually, everywhere you look, from that every tree reminds you of all that. And here, every telephone call has a Hare Krishna, both in Bengali and English, and one on each side. You can't do it.
I would like to stay with you, and do the Yajna Bhajan, but I have no taste for holy name, I have to do some activities. We are Goshtanavati, says Prabhupada, his daughters, and we have to spread this to get the mercy now. We have to give together from the mercy.
For example, I was just in the 24-hour kirtan for 3 weeks in Vrindavan.
And that's big preaching, because everyone's coming there on pilgrimage and they're hearing the holy names of the Dhamma of the year. So it's not like you're doing Hari Nam, but no, you're living in the
You're doing this, so this, I was thinking that you're Southern Radha from the Southern.
I'm not elevated enough to be.
Of Krishna consciousness is service. So my service is doing the accounts for the temple, and that's the most important thing. And if I don't get much time for hearing and chanting, and if I skip the Bhagavatam class, it's okay, because the main thing is service. And by service, you get all realization. So, you know, you guys can all go to Mayapur Vrindavan for the annual festival. I'll stay back and, you know, keep things running. And, you know, I'm just going to basically work my way through. You know, I'm just going to serve the lotus feet of my spiritual master, and that's enough for me. And, you know, okay, if I'm not hearing so much, I don't get to read, I don't get to chant. But, you know, service is the thing. Who wants to defend that one?
Oh, you cowards.
Okay. Come on up front and face the music.
Yeah, if you could do the one about getting the ritualistic Brahman, that would be even.
You guys have to get him to Bhagavatam class, get him more into hearing and chanting, get him to come to the festival, get him to associate more with the other devotees, especially with the advanced devotees. Maybe do some deity worship to balance out his program.
Do you know about the
Yeah, but if you serve, you know, if you serve as a part in the great machine which is producing many people to chant, you know, 16 hours, much more people, I get their benefit, you know, because I'm engaged in, that's why I'm engaged in. Well, sure.
Sorry?
Did you say that he wasn't chanting?
No, you can chant 16 rounds if you want.
That's very difficult to defend.
What do you know is actually a service to go to the Holy Dham. Prabhupada ordered all his disciples once a year to go to the Holy Dham. So actually, it's a very important service for Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, but where the, you know, great devotees, there is actually Holy Dham, there is a holy place, you know, every hour ISKCON temple is a holy place. They are there, so it's Vaikuntha. You know, Prabhupada said it's Vaikuntha. There is no difference.
Prabhupada said this is specifically meant Mayapur, he did not mean just the
temple. Well, I may go once when I retire. You know.
Then you're not,
I will leave body there.
Prabhupada, he said once a year you should go here to Mayapur in India and be for the festival. So you're not following that order.
No, but you know, all other devotees are going, you know, somebody has to sacrifice, so I'm there, you know,
so you
and everybody else wants to go, so, you know, let them go. I will do my service.
You prefer to be the one who disobeys that instruction of Srila Prabhupada.
No,
very good.
No, I'm not disobeying.
Yes, definitely.
I'm just, you know, sacrificing for the others.
You know. Watch the video.
Sorry?
You watch the video as well. Also festival.
Very difficult, you know. This accounting is so precious. It's so,
but
you
we
know.
Can hire people. To account. You know, people who have.
We don't have. We don't have. No, I from accounts I saw we don't have enough money. You know. We don't have money. Very difficult. You see, guys, you have to understand one thing. You know, when Arjuna was fighting on Kurukshetra, he was not, you know, chanting. You know, he was. And he was Baba, he was, you know, releasing arrows, you know, here, left, and there, everywhere, you know, and killing people, you know, so we have to do this, you know. This is very important, service is most important thing.
But he wasn't doing it, he didn't do it, he did it between certain hours, right, between sunrise and sunset.
Of course, I'm also sleeping, you know, so that I'm doing accounts in the night.
So you open, I said that you go out and fresh money will automatically come, so by you're sitting here inside the office, so how you can expect money to come in?
You see, but somebody has to do it, you know. There's
yeah.
Nobody else to do.
Why not you?
Sorry?
Why don't you go and raise money and automatically come?
I will go also if somebody is there, some qualified person to do this instead of me. I will go definitely in preaching. This is also part of preaching, by the way. No.
We are, you know, we all are doing a different, you know, how to say it, we have different roles in that machine, different parts, you know, in this great machine called disco. Yes?
What should happen if you die for this machine?
Put in your life.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
If you leave your body, mm-hmm. what will happen about this machine? Because actually you are the most important in this
world. No, somebody else will do it, you know. But service will continue.
Yeah, so actually you can go to the land sometimes and give the place to another one.
Well, I'm telling you, if some qualified person comes, I don't know. But there is, you know, in ISKCON we have less people, you know, we have, there's a great want actually of accountants.
no one will come and occupy your post unless you look for someone or unless you give it up. As long as you see in your post, nobody will come in.
No, I'm not attached actually to that service. I will do different things also. But the service, you know, that is most important. I'm not telling just about this accounting service, any service, you know. It's very important, you know. So you see people are going, you know, to this Vrindavan and then Mayapur, and then, you know, they met there Babaji's and this and that, you know, or they married there, you know, just, you know, traveling from the, you know, we are calling this easy journey to other temples, you know, just, you know, going here and there and wasting time, you know. Baba, somebody has to do this, you know, this work, you know.
Yeah, it's very nice that you were so happy you got the service. I have a question. You said that the temple is like Vrindavan, but do you realize that actually you are like Vrindavan and that you see Krishna in the world?
Not yet, but definitely, you know, in due course of time, I will, you know, I hope I will see. Sorry? Well, you see, it's no time.
Okay.
There's so many ISKCON leaders that they didn't have time for some of these basic thought moments. Now they're out, you know, selling those things or something like that. So, better watch out.
Well, Prabhupada said, you know, this one devotee, one particular devotee complained to Prabhupada that he has no time for, you know, for his sadhana and everything, but Prabhupada said, you know, that this is his sadhana, actually, you know, to work hardly for...
But Prabhupada knew that he would chant anyway, that's the whole
context. I'm also chanting 60 rounds.
Okay, thank you both very much. The point brought up that one should follow the spiritual master's direction is crucial. It's great that I want to go to Vrindavan, but if the spiritual master wants to send me to Paris, then my going to Vrindavan becomes an anartha. It's great that I want to stay and, you know, do some work, but if the spiritual master wants me to go to Vrindavan, then working becomes an anartha. All of these 64 items of devotional service should be performed in accordance with the spiritual master's instructions. On the one side, to neglect these 5 items is very destructive. The one time Srila Prabhupada was very keen in the early days on starting a press. We had some devotees who learned the printing trade in order to begin publishing our books. In fact, this Nectar of Devotion was one of the first books published on our own press by our own men. And at one point, the press was in New York. Prabhupada called me into his room, and he said to me, "I've heard that such and such devotee, the head of the printing department, is not coming to the morning program. Is that true?" And of course I didn't want to be a rat and say, well, Srila Prabhupada, yeah, it's true. Prabhupada said, "Go over there," it was a few blocks away, "go over there and tell him to close the press." we do not need this press. We do not need this press. They cannot attend the program. Better to close the press. We do not need this press. Thank you so much. We appreciate that a lot. That's from upstairs. Okay, they stopped. Let's see. They'll start again. Then you can go and talk. Yeah. Go tell them we're going to beat them up. Give us 5 minutes. So Prabhupada said, close the press. Prabhupada, another time, he wrote to his GBC men. He said that we, you know, so many meetings and this and that. He said, but we should never forget our real business, which is to become mad after Krishna. We should never forget our real business, which is to become mad after Krishna. So these items are the source of our devotional inspiration. Hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, serving the deity. These are the things that give life to devotional service, and these are the things that will lead us from the preliminary stage, the probational stage, the practice stage, up to the higher stages of devotional life, where there's spontaneous ecstasy, where there's love of Krishna, which is the real purpose. So if we neglect these most important items, where are we going to get our... And we're going to miss on these things. All of these sources of inspiration in Srimad Bhagavatam, all these sources of transcendental, all this transcendental knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam, we're going to miss. It's just going to go by us because we're not going to hear, because hearing is not so important. We're not going to associate with more advanced devotees because, you know, there's nobody advanced anyway. And by neglecting the deity, where one time I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, many devotees. And I said to Srila Prabhupada, since you've come here to Los Angeles, everyone says that the deity looks more beautiful. Prabhupada said, he's walking, he said, that is my anxiety. You know, what does that mean? That is my anxiety. Then Prabhupada said, he said, that is my anxiety, that after I leave, they will neglect the deity worship, and then everything will be finished. Prabhupada is very grateful.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are also different occasions where Prabhupada said, you can all go out and book this.
I'm coming to that.
Just one thing.
I'm coming to that. But Prabhupada so much emphasized. Another time he wrote to the president of the New York Temple. He said that I am in Vrindavan and every evening our students are speaking and I am sitting and hearing the class and I am enjoying. So as I am doing, you should also do. Don't try to be a better Paramhansa than your Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada was hearing. He would sit in his garden in Los Angeles and simply hear Krishna Bhakti in the afternoons. So these items, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in Vrindavan, serving the deity, chanting the holy name, associating with the devotees, are extremely important. And it's not that these are like someplace off in the distance and they don't matter to us. They're crucial for our spiritual advancement. And then on the other side, it's equally true that one becomes advanced by serving the orders of the spiritual master. as quoted, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kuriyaike. Arna Kuriyamani Vasha. This is not just work. This is work performed for the satisfaction of the spiritual master. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. It's not that because I'm in Vrindavan, because I'm hearing and chanting and doing all these wonderful, I'm, you know, I'm collecting shalagrams and, you know, so many things I'm doing. So that's how I'm going to make advancement. Our advancement depends on the satisfaction of the spiritual master. If he's satisfied that you're living in Vrindavan, which he may be, that you're worshipping the deity, then I'm sure he's not dissatisfied that Pankajangri and Jananivas Prabhu are living here in Mayapur and serving the deity. The success depends on the satisfaction of the spiritual master. Yasya prasada nagatir katopi. If he's dissatisfied, you're nowhere. It doesn't matter how absorbed you are in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, how absorbed you are in chanting so many rounds a day, how much ecstasy you're getting from living in Vrindavan or Mayapur or Radhakund or Govardhan or Puri or wherever you've chosen to go. If the spiritual master is dissatisfied, you're not in Vrindavan, you're nowhere. Nakatir Kapopi. Everything depends on that satisfaction of the spiritual master, and it's a fact. Like one time we wanted to go to, Prabhupada was going to San Francisco for the Ratayatra festival. That time the San Francisco Ratayatra was the big thing. We were serving in Boston at the press. The press manager got an idea that we'll all jump in a van, go out to the Ratayatra, it takes about 3-4 days to cross the country, be with Prabhupada, and come back. Prabhupada heard about it. What do they want to do that for? They should stay there and do their service. They said, well, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the most advanced devotee, hearing the message of Bhagavatam. They should stay. Why do they want to do that? They should stay and do their service. One devotee in Vrindavan, in the early days before the temple was built, he was a sannyasi. Prabhupada put him in charge of the construction, which at that time there was hardly anything to construct, but it was meant getting things together. But this devotee was more interested in, you know, hearing and chanting. And he's the same devotee who was the topic of the peacock story the other day. He really wanted to get into, you know, spiritual life, cultivating Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada put him in charge of the construction. And he later told me that Prabhupada didn't understand, you know, that I wasn't really fit for construction, I was more for hearing and chanting, and Prabhupada ruined my spiritual life. You know, he left. This is called Maya. You know, what advancement are you going to make? Hearing and chanting and becoming a peacock. And Nagatir Kapopi, now he's nowhere. And by serving me, you know, and Prabhupada knew that this man, you know, before he gets into all, let him do something practical by which he'll really make advancement. But no, he thought he was ascending to the higher realms of Vrindavan. Instead, he went to hell. So, one has to, Prabhupada said this, we learned, that one has to make the order of the spiritual master one's life and soul. It's not, we were hearing in Kadama Kanamarja's class this morning, that it's not that the self-prescription, self-doctoring, you know, we look at it and say, well, there's nothing better than living in Vrindavan, or there's nothing better than just service. We have to take guidance from the spiritual master, from more advanced devotees, from the books, and have a program by which we'll actually advance. Everything is there. Vrindavan is there, the holy name is there, Bhagavatam is there, practical service is there, preaching is there. Close the temple and send everyone out, and leave one person back and send everyone out on book distribution, is there. So one has to understand these things under proper guidance and with mature understanding. Actually, mature understanding comes from proper guidance. And not simply, oh, I read in Vrindavan, I read there's nothing better than Vrindavan, I'm just going to go to Vrindavan and do this, this, this. That may be suitable for a particular person at a particular time and place. Maybe you're that person, but maybe you're not. But we should always act under superior guidance. I'm going to keep us for a couple minutes more, I think. Or will I? Let's see. No. Yes. Just a couple minutes more. The Prabhupada makes this point that there's no exaggeration in these 64 items. But it may not be that everybody gets all the results described. It's not that because you poured water on the tulsi plant, now you're directly promoted to Vaikuntha. You know, the next morning you wake up and you're there. It's not that all the results described for all of these 64 items are achieved by every devotee. But Prabhupada said, even if you think that they're exaggerations, you should take them seriously because they take our mind off of Maya and into Krishna consciousness. And the results for actual devotees are not uncommon. It's not that these are fairy stories that, you know, just like inducements. That's minimizing the value of Vedic literature. They're not just fairy stories meant to attract us. These things are there. And we may experience these results by following these items of devotional service. And the history is there of these different devotees who achieved these results simply by watering the tulsi plant. That prostitute is one of the things in her association with Haridas Thakur, is that she, before entering the hut to say, come on, let's enjoy, she offered her obeisances to the tulsi plant. Made a huge difference. There's so many items like that. So we should take these descriptions very seriously, this evidence given in Vedic literature, and take advantage, especially at our stage, where we're not expected to have achieved the highest levels of devotional service. And even those who have, when we look at their lives of the Goswamis, they were so seriously practicing these items of Vaidhi Sadhana. For the neophyte devotees, they're essential, and for the advanced devotees, they're relishable. Okay, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you all very much.